Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we are looking at Paul's warning to the Colossian church in Colossians 2:4. Namely, the danger of deceivers, of false teachers, of people who will try to persuasively draw them away from the Christian faith. And he says it in these words in Colossians 2:4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. And then he goes on to describe the reason why so far their church has not been deceived, and evidently no members of their church have been deceived, when he goes on in verse 5 to say, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." So Paul has issued a warning in verse 4. There is the reality of spiritual danger, of false teachers, of deceivers who will endeavor to deceive you with their persuasive words. They're really good at it. But, so far, they have not been successful with you because of what I have seen. And I'm describing it for you now. I'm rejoicing in two things that I see in your church that have kept you from being swept away by clever deceivers. And that's what we are looking at on this Wednesday, May 4. We're glad that you were able to join us today, and we're very grateful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. So, though Paul was in prison in Rome, he was staying in close contact with the church at Colossae through correspondence and through messengers who came to him and gave him personal reports. And therefore, he felt like he knew what was going on. He felt like he was a part of the church and what was going on. Though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. And then he says, rejoicing to see two things. Number one, to see your good order. And number two, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Both of these things are military terms, and therefore there's some similarity and overlapping. And the first one we looked at on the broadcast yesterday, your good order, your good discipline, your orderly discipline and behavior, which needs to be understood in the light of the military term that it is. Think in terms of a good army, of soldiers in an army. Think about what that means in reference to the word orderly discipline and behavior. Think about the rigorous training and the constant exercises that are necessary to keep an army ready for combat. And then apply that spiritually to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the individual members thereof. Members of churches, in other words Christians, have to be disciplined, self-disciplined. We're not talking in this instance about corrective discipline, punitive discipline, the kind of discipline that is applied to aberrant church members who are guilty of gross sin, immorality, and so forth, and will not listen to counsel, will not heed the calls to repentance will not change and therefore have to be disciplined. We're not talking about that kind of discipline. We're talking about the kind of discipline that's necessary to be combat ready, to be strong, to be in good shape. We talk about being in good shape, and we normally mean by that somebody who exercises, who works out, who keeps their body in good shape. And the reason why more people don't do this is because it requires what? Discipline. That's really what it boils down to. Now, some people will say, well, it's because I don't have time. Right. But what that really boils down to is you won't make the time because that requires too much effort. Whatever would be required for you to do that, you're not willing to make that sacrifice. For some people, it means getting up a little earlier in the morning and doing it then, before your day begins. And if you would make that sacrifice and discipline yourself to that schedule, then you could have some physical exercise every day, but that's difficult. It requires discipline. Myriads are the excuses. We all have made them. We all have heard them. Well, I would go out and walk, but it's so cold. Well, is there no possible alternative? Can't you get a treadmill and walk inside when it's too cold outside? For every excuse, there is a plausible way around it. Well, I used to do this kind of exercise, but I can't do that anymore. I understand that. Been there, done that. I'm dealing with that at my age and stage in life. I can't do the same exercises that I used to do, but I still exercise. I used to run. Called it jogging, but really it was more running. Used to run every day, several miles every day. I can't do that anymore. I cannot physically do that anymore. But I can walk. I can ride a bike. I can use an elliptical machine. I can do some calisthenics and some exercises on a weight machine. Not a huge amount, but I can do those things. Is it easy? No. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes I just don't feel like doing it, but I can do it. And I'm not trying to push that point too hard, because that's really not the issue. I'm just using that as an analogy. What's true in the physical realm carries over to the spiritual realm. And to be in good shape spiritually, you've got to push yourself. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to make yourself do the things that don't come easy, that are so easy to slip away. Every Christian knows the importance of prayer, at least they say they do, but how many Christians actually have a regular prayer life? Not very many. Why not? Because it requires discipline. It requires making time when you can't easily make time. I didn't say it would be easy, but that's what's necessary if you're going to be in good shape. Just like certain things are necessary to be in good shape physically, so certain things are necessary to be in good shape spiritually. And Paul said that the Colossian church was in good order. I rejoice to see your good order, and the second word is steadfast. I rejoice to see the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, and that's a word that means solidity, stability, firmness. It talks about a solid front, a close phalanx, if you know that military term. It means that they were united in their faith and standing shoulder to shoulder against the foe. And we're talking about why the Colossian church had been successful in resisting the persuasive words of false teachers. Now this I say, verse 4, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order. and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, to see your good discipline and your solid front against the enemy in Jesus Christ. And so the Colossians had a strong defense. The Colossian church was made up of members who were believers individually exercising strong faith in the Word of God and interactively involved in the corporate life of a healthy local church. And the reason why Christianity in America today is relatively weak is because so many Christians in America today are neither self-disciplined individually, nor are they in any meaningful way interactively involved in the corporate life of a healthy local church. And unhealthy churches cannot develop strong Christians, and unhealthy Christians cannot maintain healthy churches. And so it's a vicious cycle. Poor churches produce, for the most part, poor Christians, and poor Christians are unable to contribute to a good, healthy church. But in the Colossian situation, their camp was in order. Their defenses were in place. They were in good shape at this point in their lives to resist those persuasive words of false teachers around them. However, you've got to be constantly on guard, because someone who's in good shape physically today may not be in 6 months or a year if they don't keep up their exercise, and somebody who's in good shape spiritually today may not be in 6 months or a year if they don't keep up their good spiritual exercises. So what is it that brings people to poor spiritual condition? It is the neglect of Bible reading and prayer. It is the neglect of involvement in an active, healthy church. It is failure to regularly deal with sin, identify it, confess it, forsake it. It is toying with attractive deviations from biblical Christianity. And as far as churches are concerned, there's all kinds of things that contribute to unhealthy churches. Unsound evangelism that fills the ranks of the church with unconverted people. Substituting ritual or entertainment in the place of God's Word. Failure to teach the Bible. Failure to ground their church members in God's Word because, people prefer something else, don't they? Little corporate accountability among church members. All of these things contribute to a weakening of the churches and, right along with it, a weakening of the individual members because they go together. It's just like your physical body. If your physical body is sick, if you've got cancer, then you've got a lot of parts of your body that are unhealthy. It affects everything. I've been there. I know this. I've been there, done that. All kinds of things suffer, even things that are not immediately threatened by the cancer, nevertheless are affected by the fact that you are weakened because of the cancer, and therefore you can't do other things to keep your body healthy and strong. It just has a spiraling downward effect. And then when the cancer is addressed, when you are free from cancer, you're going to have to work hard over a period of months and years to build your body back up, to regain your strength, to rebuild your immune system. It's going to take a lot of steady, hard work over a long period of time, but it can be done. Again, I can testify to that. Been there, done that. And it's the same thing spiritually. Oh, dear folks, take this seriously and apply it to your life, I pray. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.